We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now we turn to President Trump. He made it very clear at his speech at the White House this morning, there will be no apologizing and there will be no messages of unity. Congressman Adam Schiff leads the House Intelligence Committee, and he was the lead House impeachment manager. So, Congressman, what was that today that we all saw and heard at the White House?
I'm not sure what that was. It was, I guess, more of the same. He tends to do these stream of consciousness availabilities where he gives his people a chance to praise him and for him to praise them. I'm not really sure how else to describe it, but it is what it is.
Well, he was very specific, of course. This is his quote about you, and I'm quoting. He says, "They're vicious and mean. Vicious. These people are vicious. Adam Schiff is a vicious, horrible person. Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person."
Well, this is a president who, for the past 3 years, has done nothing but project onto others, I think, how he sees himself, and but I will leave it to the those trained in mental health to make their diagnosis. But I think time after time, when he attacks other people and calls them corrupt and calls them sleazy and calls them whatever names he chooses, that he is projecting his own lack of character onto others.
Well, what can we glean from it, though? And I've seen this brought up, maybe for the Susan Collinses of the world, who said they think or they hope things will be different after this impeachment saga, that there's now a line you don't cross. That message wasn't exactly telegraphed today from Mr. Trump.
No, and, you know, I think it was terribly naive at best for the senator to believe that he was going to change one bit and that he was going to suddenly be repentant. There's nothing to indicate in the last 3 years that this president has any capacity for self-reflection or acceptance of responsibility. He probably, the one thing that stood out to me about that press gathering or whatever it was, is how many times he used the word unfair. He uses that word really constantly, not just today, but throughout his presidency. There's no one who feels they're a bigger victim than Donald Trump. For a president and a party that likes to attack others for a sense of victimhood, there's no one who feels more of a victim than this man who was born wealthy, who became president of the United States. He needs to start doing his job and stop playing himself off as some terrible innocent that's been taken advantage of. He used the military support that the country, the Congress, had appropriated for an ally at war to try to coerce and blackmail that country into helping his reelection, helping him cheat through foreign interference. And he's not the victim here. He is the perpetrator.
You're a smart guy, and I suspect that you knew very early on that the chances were pretty much nil that President Trump was going to be convicted in the Senate. So the House, you went ahead with the impeachment, prosecuting the impeachment, I suspect, also to reach the general public more than the Republican ears in the Senate. If I'm correct in that analysis, do you think that your intended targets heard what you have to say and will act upon what you had to say?
I do. And, you know, I think we had a couple things in mind in terms of the impeachment. First, we felt it was our constitutional duty. The president had committed high crimes and misdemeanors. He was threatening the integrity of the next election. He was undermining our national security. And, you know, one of the pivotal events in this saga took place the day after Bob Mueller testified, the day after he felt he'd been exonerated by the Mueller report. He was back on the phone, this time seeking foreign interference from a different country instead of Russia. He was now seeking it from Ukraine. And this was a president who felt completely unconstrained by law or ethics or anything else. And so we felt a sense of duty to use the most powerful tool that the framers gave us for a president who would abuse his power that way, the power of impeachment. And even as we tried the case and even as we understood convincing two-thirds of the Senate in this kind of a polarized environment was a Herculean task, we wanted to make the case to the American people, and I think we did. We certainly made the case to many of the Republican senators who acknowledged that we had proven the president guilty, even as they refused to convict him. But more than that, we saw a strong majority of the country that initially didn't feel we even needed to do an investigation, come to embrace that investigation, and get to the point where, for the first time in the nation's history, a majority of Americans believed the president should be convicted and removed from office.
Congressman, take us to the floor of the Senate there, later stages of the impeachment trial, when you knew where it was going. Maybe there would be some calls for witnesses, but the Republicans, you knew what was going to happen. So it had to be frustrating, number one. How did you keep your composure out there when you knew?
Well, you know, we wanted to make the case to the American people, but at the same time, it was my hope, and this is something I expressed during the closing arguments on Monday, that we might reach a single senator, that a single person of courage makes their own majority, that they can change the course of history. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. When Mitt Romney cast that breathtaking vote to convict the president, the first time that a member of the president's own party has ever voted to remove them from office, and I think he displayed the kind of moral courage that the founders had in mind, that they thought was proof that we were capable of self-governance, that we didn't need some despot to control each other from devouring each other. So I am enormously proud of the work that the House managers did, and I'm in awe of the courage that Mitt Romney demonstrated, as well as a number of senators like Joe Manchin, like Doug Jones in Alabama, that come from states that are even more supportive of the president and nonetheless understood their constitutional duty and took their oath very seriously.
I'm going to break a rule of broadcasting right now, because broadcasters hate silence. They hate people not talking for all kinds of reasons. But I am going to...
Alarms go off.
Alarms go off the
track.
But I am going to ask you a question, and if you need to, by all means, take a second or two and think before you give an answer. And here's my question. Going into this whole proceeding, there were dire warnings from you and others in the Democratic Party that if this president were not removed from office, in effect, it would be a dire day for the state of democracy in this country. And so that's my question to you now, Congressman. This president was not removed from office. He was acquitted by the Senate. He doesn't show any signs of contrition. We see that and hear that from his speech today. What then, in your view now, is the state of democracy in this country?
Well, it is a question worthy of a lot of thought. I would say this. I would say, look, this president has shown himself to be an habitual offender, which means that we can expect these efforts to cheat in the next election will continue. And indeed, Rudy Giuliani, up until the day the verdicts were read, was saying that he thought the president needed to continue trying to get the foreign power to investigate his opponent. So we're going to have to be vigilant. I think in Congress we'll have to be vigilant. I think voters around the country are going to have to be vigilant about the character or lack of character of this president. But I have to say, I come through this process nonetheless optimistic about our country. We've been through worse divisions than this. Nothing was worse, I think, than the division during the Civil War. Nothing was more wrenching than the World Wars and the Great Depression. Vietnam was every bit as divisive and more deadly than the current crisis. We will also survive this. And I think we've got now some examples of real profiles in courage, of people like Mitt Romney that will help inform other Republicans in the Congress and outside the Congress that they too can muster the moral courage to stand up to this man. And I think for many Democrats, when we face very difficult votes in the future that may call on us to vote against others in our party, I think we will look back on Mitt Romney and find inspiration in the courage that he has shown.
Congressman Schiff, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.